Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name sounds so good. The National Council on Family Relations sounds like a pro-family group. Is it? And what does the National Council on Family Relations mean when it talks about family privilege? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to answer some of those questions. Joining us to do so, Kendall Qualls. He is president of Take Charge and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Now Two-Parent Families Are Racist Too. Kendall, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
What is the National Council of Family Relations, and what recent statements has that group made about white privilege and two-parent families?
Sure. So the National Council of Family Relations is a professional association that's been around since 1938, and they publish several journals specifically for people that have gone in the field of family counseling, university professors that are in that field, and anyone else that's doing type of family relations type support. They're known as a professional association. They're based in St. Paul. And one of the things that alerted me to this organization is that they've joined the critical race theory march, and they've now coined the traditional two-parent family as an extension of white privilege. And it's a component and built in, that system is built in to our white supremacist culture in the United States.
They've coined the term family privilege. How does that idea fit into the broader context of critical race theory?
Sure. So the concept of critical race theory, one of the things that they use to justify their entire agenda is that the racial disparities that we see in our country is embedded into the nature of our country as being systemically racist. And one of the things I combat against this, as a black man who was born in poverty, raised in a two-parent family initially, but my parents divorced, is that the issue that we have in the black community is, and the disparities we have are not racial disparities, they're two-parent family disparities. So basically what critical race theory, as well as this organization, is doing, they're trying to normalize this idea of unwed births, single mothers as just another, we're going to raise it to the level of the two-parent family structure at parity, and that the idea of two-parent family shouldn't necessarily be elevated as the norm. We're going to bring it down to a level as others because of the racial disparity that it, and the unjustified benefit that it has. It's a way of actually bringing the culture down to a level that undermines the very character of who we are as Americans. And not only that, any civilization over the course of time has been built upon the traditional nuclear family, regardless of race. And that's what we're fighting against.
The NCFR's webinar attendees are going to be told how to, quote, define family privilege, white supremacy, and apply a critical intersectional framework that can be used in one's work. What does that mean, Kendall?
They want to show how they can dismantle this idea that the two-parent family should be held into a high esteem, that these mothers, you know, God bless them, that are raising kids by themselves, it's difficult. And what they want to do is structure the entire system that we have in the United States to accommodate that type of family structure as normative. And what happens is, now keep in mind now that critical race theory is built out of and came out of a communist manifesto. And the only difference is that in the 1970s, they added the word race into the middle of it, critical race theory, and it became an academic, you know, study in the late 1980s. And now it's been infiltrated into colleges and universities, as well as teaching colleges. And it's being taught, obviously, in the K-12. And now this is an extension of it. How are we going to undermine the essence of our country? Because at the end of the day, the founding fathers, if you read a lot of the literature and the things that they wrote, is that a self-governing country can only happen if the populace is virtuous and literate. As a self-governing country can't be dependent on government. It has to be an organization or states and families and communities that can live independent of government support. And they're trying to undermine that very idea.
What does reliable research tell us about the benefits of two-parent families?
Oh, geez. I mean, it's overwhelmingly, abundantly clear that children born in two-parent family, regardless of race, are much healthier mentally, socially, behaviorally. They have successful academic starts in life. They do well on the job. All of the things that we know to be true from the beginning of time. Now, what we do know from homes of fatherless children, fatherless homes, that those children struggle academically. They're more prone to sexual and physical abuse. They make up 90% of homelessness in the United States. They're 7 times more greater to commit crime and be incarcerated. It is not that, you know, hey, look, these are just inherently bad kids. They're born into situations not of their own making. Then the requirements of government is to actually put policies in place that undergirds the very nature of the country and also undergirds the very nature of a civil society. And this is doing the exact opposite.
Why is the presence of the father in the home so important to children?
Well, you know, from studies that you look at, there's a sense of boundaries that fathers put in place that moms can't do alone. And again, this is not underestimating or undervaluing the input of mothers. I mean, we need moms, but what we have seen in my own life, I can't imagine that job doing it alone. You know, my mother had to do it alone. And the catastrophe that we saw in our own family, I have three of my siblings, my siblings were incarcerated. Others used drugs because our fathers were not in the home, the disruptive nature of all of that. And they bring a sense of, say fathers I'm referring to, they bring a sense of that unconditional love, especially for young women, for girls, that, you know what, you don't have to do anything or provide anything or, you know, in order to feel that conditional love. It's a huge absence there for young girls, but also for boys. It gives them that sense of what it means to be a man and that sense of work ethic.
Given the data, why do you think there hasn't been a national effort to reverse the trend toward more and more fatherless homes?
Well, this is something that we're initiating with my organization, Take Charge, at takechargemn.com. We're initiating this ourselves. Number one, from a government standpoint, and we've seen this from the history, from the time of history at the beginning, and especially in the Middle Ages, when you have a dependent population relying on you, you can remain in power for a long time. I've seen that growing up when I moved out of Harlem, when I went to live with my father and I was in fifth grade. And every summer I had to visit my mother. No, I had to. I wanted to visit my mother in the summers, you know, during that time. Nothing changed in Harlem. One thing that was persistent was continual poverty. Things got worse for my family. And the other thing that never changed was the congressional leadership, the political leadership. Charlie Rangel was their U.S. representative of Harlem for 47 years. He and his friends, his family, and his cronies, they all became wealthy at the expense of the people they're supposed to represent and lead to prosperity. What happened in Harlem happened in every major city in the country, and it's expanding now. It's expanding beyond the inner cities where you have people that need government assistance or require government assistance. The people that provide it remain in power.
Finally, does critical race theory reduce racism?
Oh, if anything, it increases it. It increases racism. Here's the dynamic that I share with people on why critical race theorists, proponents of it, they have a list of things they want to implement. Not one of those things, not on the last page, last bullet item, is to strengthen the nuclear family. They don't want to strengthen the nuclear family, and that's the divide. They want to use the racial disparities as a justification for their motives. But again, as I mentioned, these are two-parent disparities. The black community used to be 80% two-parent families. all the way through the worst of time, the worst of history, after slavery, they remained together as a family. It wasn't until the 1960s, through these social programs came in, that we started to see a significant drop in marriage because of these social welfare programs. In our lifetime, we've seen it go from 80% two-parent family, 80% fatherless homes. I call it a cultural genocide. And what's happened is now with critical race theory, they're telling kids everything comes through the lens of race. That one class of people is going to be oppressors, and one class of people are going to be considered oppressed. There are no individuals. Everyone's in a group. And that's why this is inherently dangerous. It undermines us as a country, and it's everything that Martin Luther King was actually trying to promote against, basically replacing and dismantling the notion of content of character over color of skin.
Kendall Qualls is president of Take Charge. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Now Two-Parent Families Are Racist Too. You'll find a link to it and to Take Charge at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Kendall, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
We will be going through your listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon right after this. Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Now that you're preparing for this year's Advent season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off, and they're held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Come and see Ad Crucem's wonderful collection of Christmons and our other Christmas ornaments. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.